Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are once again. This time we're now halfway through July. What is it, the 19th?
The 19th.
And we're looking at the market as it goes crazy.
Seems, I've called it a new name, it's the Energizer Bunny Market. Just keeps on going. See that or the other guy, what was the guy in the commercial where there was a guy that used to walk into walls, it was like Pepto-Bismol or something, or Alka-Seltzer, or remember that guy?
No, I don't remember anybody walking into walls.
I thought there was a guy that was, maybe I'm confusing
the East Coast thing.
Energizer Bunny with something else. But anyway, yeah, markets seem unfazed by all the escalating violence. You know, we talked about this, that it seems that there's a correlation to the more violent acts that we have, the higher the market goes.
Yeah, and gun sales go up too.
Yeah. So we saw that a coup attempt in Turkey, which I'm certain that you're going to be discussing a no agenda.
We've already discussed it.
Oh, you did?
And we'll discuss it some more. But yeah, it was on Friday, Saturday, and we did a show on Sunday, and we had most of it figured out.
Yeah, no absence of news for no agenda these days.
No, it's fantastic. It's like two or three events are happening constantly.
Yeah. I don't know what you said about it. I didn't listen to that particular episode, but I'm assuming that there was some deconstruction of it regarding the potential for the government themselves to have planned this coup to take further power.
Well, that was discussed, but that wasn't the final conclusion. Yeah, listen to the show. It's actually kind of offbeat what we've determined here.
Yeah. Well, the Dow Jones hit an all-time high today. The S&P was dropped a little bit lower, ever so slightly, gingerly. The NASDAQ was down a little bit after those Netflix earnings. But, you know, I think it's interesting that after we've seen all these different events, the coup attempt that happened after the close of markets on Friday, and immediately, futures dropped like 11 points on the S&P and 50 or 60 points on the Dow. And the currency markets went a little crazy with the lira dropping like 4%. The Turkish lira, the Turkish markets were looking like they were going to get really hammered. And Monday, the markets opened to nothing. The thing was over by then, so it seemed. Although the lira maintained its drop and the Turkish markets actually maintained the drop. In fact, today, the lira is lower than it was after the announcement of the coup. So when it came back a little bit, it dropped again. Now, here's what's interesting. How full of shit are they is my question. So the IMF's Christine Lagarde, she said that Turkey's central bank did a great job containing markets and currency moves in response to the coup attempt. And meanwhile, I don't see how that happened. Their lira was down by 4%. They did cut rates yesterday, I think it was, but that dropped it even further. Market's down 5 or 6% on that. I don't understand this whole thing.
I guess she meant that there wasn't an economic collapse.
From a coup attempt in Turkey?
Well, I mean, an economic collapse in Turkey.
Yeah, it's only one day in. Who knows what's going to happen here? Now this guy is trying to put back the death penalty and firing everybody, it seems, teachers, firing government officials, judges. I don't understand where the judges come into play. Why you fire the judges?
Well, there's been a lot of investigations of corruption in the Erdogan administration, and the judges seem to be promoting this. And so if you're a corrupt operation and you got judges out to get you, get rid of them.
Get rid of the judges. Anyway, so I see this. Christine Lagarde has lost a lot of, I've lost a lot of confidence in the, not that I had that much to begin with, but in the IMF. And she is like the ultimate global cheerleader, where we have individual cheerleaders at each of the central banks around the world. She's kind of like the master, the top end of the rah-rah patrol.
Yeah, she's running the whole event.
Yeah. Now, we did see that SoftBank bought ARM Holdings.
Yeah, has that been closed? Is that closed? That deal closed?
No, it didn't close yet. SoftBank shares got hammered.
The government can still put a stop to it.
You think they will? Why would they do that?
I don't know. It's a big loss to them, I think, to British prestige.
Well, but I mean, the thing about ARM Holdings, by the way, this is a company. I think it's they call it a foundry company, right?
No, they're not a foundry. They're an IP company.
Right, but don't they do? I thought they were more. Well, okay. Well,
no. There's two elements to this type of business. One of it is IP, which means you do the brain work. You make the chips. You design the chips, but you don't manufacture them. And then there's the foundries, which could be anybody.
Which I guess could be like AMAT. You're right. I'm sorry. Yeah. They are the company that creates they're the creator of the chip in terms of the IP.
Right.
And then they pass it on to be produced. So this company is
they license the basic design stuff like Apple, for example.
But that's all they do, by the way. They don't do any production at all, is my point.
No, they don't. Not that I know of.
Which is kind of fascinating. And this company is being bought at a 45% premium. Everybody's like, oh.
A lot of people think that model that they have. But the IP companies, which stands for, in this case, for intellectual property. IP companies like this, and a lot of the chip companies have become that. AMD tried to kind of do that. They kind of halfway did it. This has always been seen as the future. And other people don't think so. Intel being one of them, I believe.
Well, this is in a way equivalent to a healthcare company that just has the rights to all sorts of pharmaceuticals, but has somebody else distribute it and produce it.
Yeah, that'd be similar.
So now everybody's talking about how Brexit was the reason for this because they got it on the cheap, you know, with the British pound being at an 85-year low and then buying a British company, that this is some deal. It sweetened the deal. It was easy for them to pay that 45% premium because it really wasn't that much.
That's actually, I didn't hear that, but now that you mention it, it's logical.
Yeah, trying to put a spin on the whole Brexit, the positive aspects of the Brexit. But you think that possibly the UK is going to put the kibosh on it?
I'm actually personally, I'd be surprised if they didn't. Personally, but I mean, they may not. There's no real noise that they're going to. I just noticed a few people complaining about it. I thought to myself, geez, where are they going to let this happen?
Yeah.
It's like it's a crown jewel of high tech in England, this company.
Well, we did
and a lot of people, by the way, if you look, read Zero Hedge, they wrote this up, and they of the opinion, they didn't quite say it outright, but they say that this may just actually be a conduit deal. I've seen these things go down. Company buys they get everything all straightened out, and then they shuffle the company off to a third party. Because what's SoftBank got to do with this? So SoftBank buys them, and then they sell them to the Chinese. That was because of the implication. And so now China has a legitimate chip company, IP,
right?
That they can now leverage because they have been working on their own chips for a long time, and they just have not been able to turn the corner.
So the theory is that if China went after this company on its own, they may have been like, no, that's not going to happen. But by SoftBank buying them, somehow it will then be turned over
maybe
to China. Maybe SoftBank makes a little spiff on the whole thing.
Well, they make a lot of money on the deal.
Right. Interesting. Well, we saw some earnings out of a variety of different companies. We saw Goldman Sachs beat by 67 cents. However, this is on the lowered estimate. Stock was actually down after this. You would think that, you know, if estimates were for $3 and they beat by 67 cents, that the stock would do pretty darn well, right?
That's what you'd think initially.
You would think. But this is on lowered estimates. Estimates were down from about $3.70 approximately back in March, and analysts really lowered the bar significantly over the last several months. And what happened was these giant revisions and the company beating but not meeting those estimates that they so it's kind of like, well,
not things beating the old estimates.
Yeah, yeah. So maybe the stock doesn't deserve to go any higher than it was. Netflix came out with their earnings. I don't know if you saw any of this. This was pretty pathetic. Net new additions were 1.52 million versus 2 million guidance. U.S. net additions were 160. Now, they did beat estimates by about 9 cents. But one of the things that is a big issue is how are they going to continue to make money? And various companies look at different things. So Twitter was always the monthly active users. Remember that whole thing? And, you know, Facebook has something, and you have IBM is their GAAP earnings. And you look at all these different companies have like, sometimes they're straight
up. The one number you want to watch.
Right. And the one number that you want to watch in Netflix is the net additions, because they have the need to continue to increase their overall user base to continue to increase their revenues to keep pace with all the expenditures that they have by not only going out and trying to put this out to the whole entire world, but also for their original content. So this is kind of like what happened with Amazon. You know, Amazon, the big thing was, okay, we're looking at revenues, but we're also looking at, you know, the consistency of revenues. And you don't want to look at the expenses because, you know, they're doing all this build out and it doesn't really matter. And then you know what happened with Amazon. They stopped all the big build outs and boom, their earnings skyrocketed. But the problem is that there was a big disappointment when it came to net additions in the U.S. 160,000. That was terrible. And the churn rate was very high due to the older subs. They got the rate hike, this whole grandfathering thing they have. International was lower than expected. You know, I think it's really interesting that, you know, if you think about Netflix for a second, what is it? It's a company that is a content provider, and a lot of people decided to go to them when they had the, you know, the cutting the cord concept that went on. A lot of the younger generations are just saying, hey, I'll just get Netflix for $8 or $9 a month and I don't have to pay all these cable bills and all that, right? So really look at it as a cheap alternative to regular TV subscriptions and cable and all that.
Well, right, it's a part of the cord-cutting Bible.
Right. But those same people are going to be always looking for what is the cheaper way to go, right? Because that's how they got there to begin with.
That makes sense, yes.
So now, first of all, they raised their rates. Okay, I don't think that was that big of a deal, but $1 a month, nobody's going to really complain about that. However, there's a lot more competition out there. For example, Amazon Prime, with your Amazon Prime membership, you get the Amazon Prime movies. Now, you don't get the original content from Netflix, of course, but you get other things. And that's maybe a lot cheaper. Why would you have two things? I got Amazon Prime, I got this. You know what? I'll just stick to the Amazon Prime. Comcast is coming out with, you know, through Xfinity. I could watch, even though this is it's corded, if you will. I could watch any movie I want. Not Netflix original content, but I can watch anything I want. And you have YouTube that has all sorts of fun things on there. So it's possible that the additions were very light due to the fact that, you know, the churn rate, but also due to the fact that a lot of people are saying maybe there's other alternatives. They were the only game in town for a long time.
Yeah, you know, I've been trying to write a column for I don't know how long about this, and I can't get any cooperation from any of the cable companies or anybody else, and because I really question whether this cord cutting phenomenon's got legs.
You think they're going to go back to?
Well, it's not like they're going to go back, but there's a lot of I know a lot of, like, my kids. You know, I've hooked them up. It's like the old fart that has to show the kids how to do stuff. Hooked them up with over-the-air television. Because they got some really nice antennas out now, these flat little ones you glue on the wall. They're fantastic. They really pull. It's astonishing to me. They're fractal antennas, I believe, inside, and which is a model of antenna that it's just astonishing how well it works. Yeah, I have one of these, for example. They cost like $10. They're a piece of flat plastic, and you just glue it to the wall. And I have one in my house, and I have a what you call a fringe antenna on the roof of the house that can get all these signals from all over the place. Inside the house, with like four walls between the house and the outside, at eye level, one of these little flat antennas will pull, is I'd say 95% of what the big antenna will pull from the roof. So I've taken these antennas and I've given them to the kids and I showed them how to, they all have big screens, but they never use the OTA. They all have, and all the big screens today, with few exceptions, they're starting to pull tuners out of a few of them. But for most of them have a tuner built in. And so you can then flip your little button on your remote control. Next thing you know, you got over the air TV. And then the next thing you know, they're watching these regular stations free. Mm. Which seems to me to be part, it should be part of the cord cutting thing, but it's not being promoted very well.
I'm having this sensation that John C. Dvorak in the day had a ham radio. Am I right?
I have a ham license.
You have a ham license?
But I only got that recently.
Oh, recently? Really?
Yeah, about 5-6 years ago.
Did you have like an SSB? Or did you have a CB?
No, I was not a big radio, ham radio guy. I used to be on the college radio station. I didn't need to do that stuff.
Mm.
So.
Yeah, interesting. I had a CB, and I had a three
CB. I had a little portable unit that I keep around, but it was ruined by all these guys who use these amps. You know, you hear this guy blowing out these CB radios. If you're driving by one of these guys, they got a big antenna sticking out of the back of their car. It's all illegal.
I had a big three-quarter wave on the house.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what did you accomplish with the CB radio?
I talked to the guy two doors down. That was it. I mean, you know, the thing was to stay up late in the night and see how far you could reach.
Oh yeah,
I think we got Puerto Rico or something on the single side.
On the CB radio,
on the single sideband. On the CB radio, you got maybe the town over, maybe on a very clear night. That was a lot of fun.
Sorry, I bored you with that story, but the point is that these cord cutters, and my kids are amongst them, pretty much share a Netflix subscription.
Yeah,
which saves a lot of money, by the way, mm-hmm. a family subscription, and everybody does. And then apparently Reed Hastings didn't think it's a big deal, and. And then over the air, you can pretty get a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you're not getting ESPN.
Well, okay. But you can get that on. You get all that online. You get that on your phone.
Right. ESPN's online. Exactly. Right.
We also saw earnings from IBM came out and beat by about, 6 cents per share. Revenues were $20.24 billion versus $20.06 billion. And the good news was, the very good news, they had one segment of their business that showed growth.
That's something. And that was?
Well,
that phony baloney Watson device. Yeah,
the Watson deal. The Watson segment. It's not just Watson, but it's their, artificial intelligence segment?
Whatever they're doing with it.
Yeah, so you can have those commercials that are the worst acting ever.
Yeah.
Have you seen those commercials?
Yeah, they're terrible.
Are they the worst acting ever?
Well, it's not acting. It's the computer voice.
Yeah, but it's somebody across from the computer. The computer is a better actor than the people they bring on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, it's pretty pathetic. IBM has never been good at advertising, believe it or not.
Well, it's their advertising agency who it is and who they say. It was just terrible. I mean, yeah, hello, but Watson.
These agencies are pushed around by the executives.
Yeah. Now, Yahoo said that the revenue in the second quarter fell 15% after excluding accounting adjustments. And its operating profit fell 64%. Yahoo also acknowledged that Tumblr, its biggest acquisition under current chief executive Marissa Mayer, was now worth only one-third of the $1.1 billion the Yahoo paid in 2013. How ugly is that?
Well, a couple of things. One, it was never worth that much to begin with.
Right.
And two, it's all porn. It's not all porn. It is so much porn that the only reason I imagine Marissa Myers bought it because she likes porn.
Oh.
I have to assume this because this thing is just all. Here's a challenge for anybody who wants to prove this point. Put down any sick idea you can think of in Google, mm-hmm. Some sexual deviance of any sort.
I can think of a few.
And then space. Tumblr, TLUMBLR.com. Mm-hmm. And so that way the Google will see the Tumblr site and it will only search Tumblr and you will see some of the most horrific stuff you can imagine, depending on what you put in for the search engine.
One man's horrific is one man's pleasure, right?
Well, I'm sure some people like is what they see. And but I'm telling you, I know they've been trying to clean it up because stuff disappears. Mm. And not that I am a connoisseur. But
you seem to know a lot about this, buddy.
I've heard they've been cleaning it up.
I heard from a friend.
Yeah, a friend told me. And it's hopeless. This thing is one giant porn machine.
Wow.
Well, so why did she buy it? I was always baffled by that.
Well, hold on a second. Porn can be very profitable on the web. We know that. As a matter of fact, the web was built for porn. We know this, right? They couldn't even figure out how to make that profitable, Yahoo. That's the problem.
I don't know that anything on Tumblr has got a monetary aspect to it. It's just blogs.
I wonder why they would have bought that to begin with. You know, how would they think about
monetizing? I have my theory.
Yep. Okay, good. But, you know, I saw a little interview with Marissa Mayer, by the way, who is probably could be in one of the IBM commercials. She's that bad of a spokesperson, bad speaker. She was terrible. She has like no. She's either a beaten woman, done, you know, because of all this, or I don't know what the story is. She looked terrible. She was very monotone discussing the earnings.
She's very monotone anyway.
Ah, terrible. I mean, just no. You're a CEO of a company. You got to have a little bit of.
You have some spark.
A little spark, personality, something to kind of, you know, why would you want to, I mean, you look at.
Outrageous.
She needs to take lessons from Elon Musk.
She needs to, well, that's, the guy's a natural. She needs to get a writer, like a joke writer.
Yeah. Maybe somebody to loosen her up and do a little yoga or something.
I think you wouldn't be bitching so much.
Microsoft quarter four, Q4 came out tonight after the close. 69 cents versus 58, which is kind of interesting. And they beat on revenue as well. Stock was up about 3% after hours. And I guess their Windows platform really made money. But they're don't be shocked what I'm about to tell you, okay? Just don't get too, like, worked up. Their phone sales plummeted.
Plummeted.
So
how can they have plummeted? It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I mean, if you're at ground zero, how do you go lower, right?
Yeah, I don't get it.
Yeah, but... I mean, I haven't seen anybody with a Windows phone. Have you seen anybody with a Windows phone?
Yeah, yeah.
Recently?
My daughter's boyfriend, whose dad works for Microsoft.
Oh, well, yeah.
In the Windows division, in the Windows phone division.
Oh.
He has one.
I have a friend of mine who worked for Microsoft. And for years, the edict in their household was, you can't have an Apple phone. You have to have Microsoft products.
Yeah, they have to eat their own dog food. Yep. That was the phrase they used.
And he called me up not too long ago, and he says, I had to cave in. The family was, like, revolting. Well, not that his family's revolting, but they were revolting against him.
Yeah.
And he said that they got iPhones, all of them. I don't know what he has. I should check what he has. I think he still probably has his Microsoft. I don't even know what you call it. But the Microsoft beat up a little bit after hours, but... very know, mixed. Where do they go from here?
That Microsoft phone is not that bad.
No, it wasn't. But it's like everything
still
else.
Not that bad.
It's like everything else they do. They create something and then they stop. They stop inventing after that point.
It's half-assed. They like to milk the cash cow, but there's no cash cow to milk.
Right.
The other thing is I talked to a couple of these guys in that division, and I said, how about giving me a phone? I'll use it. And no.
Itchy.
How about passing some phones out to the media? Just give everybody a phone and let them play with it, because it's not a bad product. It's got the fonts are really nice. It has some different qualities. It's just fun.
Right. It's got the moving windows.
As far as I know, they never seeded the phone. I mean, they know how to do that. There's Microsoft. They know how to do this sort of thing. Seed the product. You send out a bunch of free copies to all these people. Bloggers. I mean, bloggers are getting stuff. They're getting laptops. No. Mm-mm. You're just going to write bad stuff about her. So I don't know what their thinking is, but you wouldn't give anybody a phone.
Yeah. Well,
so, and then lost. They wonder why nobody's using the phone. Well, nobody's using the phone because you don't even have a phone. Here's another thing. I'm apparently on a rant today. I'm all jacked up for the Republican convention. So here's the deal. You've got a new Android phone. You've got an Apple phone. Say you're a reviewer. You just write about phones once in a while. If you don't have a Windows phone to compare stuff to, it doesn't get written about.
Right.
Because the Windows phone will have like a feature that it does better than anything else, because everything has those qualities. But you don't have one, so you don't know. They're idiots. It's the worst managed division at Microsoft.
Mm. Well, it's back to marketing again. Same thing. Yahoo problems with marketing and their whole Tumblr issue. IBM with their marketing with the terrible commercials for Watson, and now Microsoft. The old dogs just don't have new tricks.
No, they don't.
Now, speaking about marketing, advertising, graphics design, did you see those on Twitter? I shoved them over to you. Did you see those designs that some of our listeners sent in for the new DH Unplugged
album cover?
The album cover. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Did you didn't respond?
No.
Can you respond?
Sure.
Well, just let me know which one you
Why,
like.
Why, you think there's... I haven't seen one yet that I liked.
Oh. Well, we're looking for a new album cover that maybe is either along the designs we have now, but we need the new size, which is... What is the size for Apple, for the iTunes?
I don't know.
It's larger. 1400 by 1400 or something like that?
Something like that.
Yeah, so if anybody wants to make album art for DH Unplugged.
What happened to your cartoonist guy?
Yeah, he. I put it out there. I mean, I guess all I can do is put it out there. I asked people
Nick
also.
Durrett, you know, Nick Durrett did our website, so maybe he might be interested.
Yeah, maybe. I put a request out also for. I need a graphic. We need a DH graphic for Pokezoms.
Your Pokezoms.
Yeah, we need it. We need a graphic. I've seen people all over the place walking around with their stupid phones. I keep on. There's one right around my house. Some Pokezone or something, Pokey something. Keep seeing people like wandering around like just aimlessly with their phones. So
that's my column in tomorrow's PC Magazine, since you're going to ask. It's about this phenomenon. I call it mass hysteria. So I'm at the, I told this story on No Agenda, but I'm going to tell it again because I love the story. I'm getting gasoline over by the BART station in El Cerrito at this little gas station. This woman pulls in just before me, I guess, in her car, and she pumps her gas, and she puts the nozzle back, and then she goes around the other side to get in the car. And just before she gets in the car, she opens the door and stands outside and looks at her phone and then runs off, leaves the car door open, runs off down the street like a maniac. Huh. And then I couldn't see her. She's gone. Left the car. I should have just driven her car home. I went around the corner as I left, and there she was over by one of these running paths near the BART station, and she fiddling with her phone. Then she walks back to her car very slowly. Obviously, there's a Pokemon.
Oh boy,
to go get. That's what she did. She couldn't resist. And she's like middle-aged mom kind of a thing. And I keep reading about people that, this is the kids reliving their childhood youth when they were big Pokemon fans. I don't think so. Most of the people I know that are completely addicted to this game are too old for Pokemon.
Yeah, to have a comeback.
Yeah.
Well, now, by the way, speaking of this, Nintendo, there's some discussion that Zag, you know the company Zag? They make the cases and the various.
Oh, right, you know, right.
For the phones. That's going to be a big beneficiary of the Pokemon craze.
Okay.
I'm having a difficult time. Stock was up 11% today, filled a gap, then retreated a bit. I think it was finished up maybe 3%. I'm having a difficult time putting together the connection between why this is going to be so good for Zag, this one company, because are people going to decide, I need a new case, maybe a Pokemon case, I guess. Or is it because they have maybe a battery? Because it drains your battery pretty well.
It could be a battery case.
I mean, but to drive a stock up. Now, I actually put a chart of Zag on the DH Unplugged site. You can see how it's moved up from about $5 to about $7, which is pretty smart move in that, in the last couple of weeks. I thought that was kind of interesting to look at. We can talk about some more things with Pokemon in a moment, but I want to talk about a few other things first. All the information you can find about what we talk about, the charts and all that, on the DH Unplugged website, dhunplugged.com. And just go over to the show notes and click around. You'll find all sorts of things. And the things we talk about today, plus links of what we talk about, etc., are on there so you can follow along at home. You called it, by the way. I want to mention you called it. So we got a kazoo or a bell British voters, as it turns out, can't actually remove their country from the European Union. Only their elected leaders can do so. Since the June 23rd referendum, the debate has turned to whether the new prime minister, Theresa May, can initiate the country's EU exit without first seeking permission from Parliament. The question has sparked what could turn into a wave of legal challenges known as judicial reviews. The first one begins on Tuesday, today. So you mentioned probably not going to happen. Not the Brexit vote. I mean, the after effects of, the potential is that the tie, that's not ever going to happen.
Yeah, I've been suggesting this. This is right.
So here we go already with the turn. This is going to piss off a lot of people.
Well, Theresa May came out and said, and she was against the Brexit, but she came out and said very strongly that I am going to get us out of the EU. I guarantee it. She didn't say I guarantee it. That would be an American. But she said something similar. So she says it's going to happen somehow. So we'll see.
We'll see. And there's some more Brexit fallout concerns. The recent Zoo survey of economic sentiment in Germany fell to its lowest level since 2012. The indicator slumped to a negative 6.8 points, down from 19.2 in June. And by the way, with all this concern and with all of the consumer confidence, which this is falling, and all the potential problems and the coups and all that, and market's still on the highs around the world. Yep, nice.
Yeah,
I think we got to talk about, before we get into our close to the pin competition and all that, we got to talk about the Republican National Convention, which obviously is pretty entertaining.
It depends on your definition of entertaining. But I watched the whole thing from gavel to gavel.
I thought we'd talk about the big controversy, which is the speeches by Mrs. Trump and Mrs. Obama, and how they had some very
a little overlap.
Yeah, incredible. Now, I thought what we'd do is just maybe read this, and if you haven't heard this, by the way, you probably have by now. But I thought we would go through sentence by sentence. So, do you want to be Trump or you want to be Obama?
Well, do you have it here?
Yeah. We got the Trump and we got the Obama split.
Okay, hold on a second. Okay. Is this where do I click on this thing? No, it's below. I'm looking for it. I didn't know I had to go with a script here.
Sorry. There's a little script there.
I'll do Obama.
So I'm going to read one sentence, then you read the same, then you read the sentence, okay?
Yeah.
So I'm going to start with Trump. She says, "From a young age, my parents impressed upon me the values that you work hard for what you want in life, that your word is your bond, and you do what you say and keep your promise, and that you treat people with respect."
And Obama says, "And Barack and I were raised with so many of the same values, that you work hard for what you want in life, that your word is your bond, and you do what you say you're going to do, that you treat people with dignity and respect, even if you don't know them, and even if you don't agree with them."
And then Trump says, "They taught and showed me values and morals in our daily lives, a lesson they continue to pass along to our son," Trump said. Let's see, that's your next.
"And Barack and I set out to build those guided by these values and to pass them on to the next generation.
And we need to pass those lessons on to many generations to follow, because we want our children in this nation to know that the only limit to your achievements is the strength of your dreams and your willingness to work for them.
Because we want our children and all children in this nation to know that the only limit to the height of your achievements is the reach of your dreams and your willingness to work for them." Now, somebody in the Republican Party dug up a third version of this little spiel by somebody else.
Oh, really?
Like 20 years earlier.
Oh, boy.
Some writer. I don't know. It was just a piece of it, you know, so small. I mean, I found that everyone was all giddy over this woman. I can't remember her name half the time.
Meliana. I think it's Meliana.
No, it's not Meliana.
Melodrama? Mrs. Trump. Why do you think I said Mrs. Trump?
It's Mrs. Trump.
Trump wife.
She's been in this country for 20 years. She has a thick accent, which is not charming. I don't know. And she always looks like she's mad at someone. I'm not a big fan of hers.
Melania?
No, it's not. No.
M-E-L-A-N-I-A.
Melanoma. Her name is Melanoma.
it's as close as you can get to that. And she's not a trophy wife, by the way. Not at all. By the way, there's a...
She might have been 20 years ago.
Yeah, maybe. Anyway, the thing about...
What constitutes a trophy wife to you?
You got a kind of an ugly guy with lots of money, and he gets a very young woman that's beautiful.
Okay, well, that's one definition. I think that works. no, I just find her. I find her to be. I like the Ivanka girl. I think she is. beautiful and charming and well-spoken. And I like her. And she's pleasant to look at. This woman has always got, she's got too much eye makeup on. She looks mean. And she's got this ridiculous accent that she could have corrected if she wanted to.
I know. Really? Like,
don't you think after 20 years?
I guess, yes. She could have taken lessons, and anybody could change their accent over time.
Yeah, you can change your accent. Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't have to be as thick a drawl. I know people, I've been to Slovenia, and I've hung out with people there that are Slovenians, and none of them have that accent.
It's pretty interesting that you hung out with Slovenians in Slovenia.
Well, I hung up with Slovenians in Croatia, too. But, yeah, in Slovenia. I just wanted to make sure so it doesn't seem like, because some, I think Cleveland or somebody there says, oh, we've got a Slovenian community. You could hang out with Slovenians in Cleveland. Mm. But, and I actually worked with a Slovenian over here when I was at Mevio. And
go.
He didn't have that accent. Hmm. Nobody has that accent.
Well, I got to tell you something, though. This is, even though it, this shows me that the Trump campaign.
Melania.
Is being sloppy. Because she didn't write her speech, right? Let's get to the brass tacks.
Oh, no. There's no way.
No. She didn't, not that she's not smart enough to write her speech, but none
she
of them.
They
don't
write a speech, but they wouldn't let her.
Yeah, just even nobody writes. You got speech writers. That's what happens with all this,
and,
right?
Well, and actually, then let me. I want to bring a little media savvy to the audience that you should know. People should know this stuff. If you're in a situation where you are being choreographed and you're going to be put up on stage, and they're going to write a speech for you, and you're going to deliver the speech and get the hell off, and they're going to dress you and the whole thing, you could. And I've seen this happen. It reminded me of a series of an ad campaign that PC Magazine did once with Adweek. You could let them write the speech. You go out and read the speech. You get off the. You could say, I want to write my own speech. The next thing you know, you're not going up there at all.
Nope.
This Adweek campaign went like this. They were going to have all the columnists and writers were going to have this little spiel. They have our head. I don't know where I'd probably have a copy of this. You have your head, and it's John C. Dvorak's columnist. And they had this little thing about what I did, what I was there for, what I was supposed to do. And they had written it for me. And the laziness is what I did, which is like I kind of have some clue. Okay, you know, can you change this word? You let it go. This is what they're doing. It's their campaign. They're the ad writers, and who cares? One of the guys, no, he had to write his own. They said, okay, great, write your own. He never got in. They just kept it out.
Right.
So.
Well, I mean, the bottom line is, though, that this is screams to me of sloppy planning, of not, you know, people just taking the easy way. I mean, there's no way this was just by miracle.
I think it was maybe some guy. Here, there's two possibilities. From the no agenda perspective, it was planned this way to get attention.
Oh, boy.
And it's a possibility. It got attention. It took over the news cycle, especially the left-wing news cycle. They're all bitching and moaning. She's a plagiarist.
Mm-hmm.
Or it was somebody that was a speechwriter that was really a crummy speechwriter, and he just stole from somebody else's speech.
Well, yeah.
But I mean, since nobody got fired, or this what they say, I have to assume the former.
All right, let's get on to the close to the pin competition, and we do have a winner for Nike. We have two people that came pretty close, but Nike finished at $57.95. You were 14% away. I was 8% away. The average price for entry was price entry by our Cracker Jack listening audience was $54.01, which was pretty much as far away as I was, 9% away. And the winner, John Jay, not Jingleheimer Schmidt either, just John Jay. And he came in about 14 cents away with a pretty volatile stock.
That's astonishing.
Yeah, I mean, this, and especially because it ran up so much. And you and I were close to it when it first came out. And
Then I got bulldozed by the continuing change in price.
Currently, if you want to place your price for Pfizer, that is currently running till Friday. And then the following week, we'll have the winner. Or actually, a week from then, we'll have a winner. So you can go over to DH Unplugged and put your price guess in for Pfizer. Just click on the close to the pin competition top right there, and you can win one of the very much coveted. As a matter of fact, a few people have said, hey, you know, can I get a shirt because I came in second? I just want it for bragging rights. I'm not going to sell it on eBay. So I guess there could be potentially a market on eBay for these shirts. How do you like that?
$100.
You know, I was thinking about having a close to the pin that we set up for, let's say, the Dow Jones Industrial Average that runs till the end of the year.
That's a good idea.
And that winner would get a signed T-shirt from me and you.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, that would definitely be some bragging rights there.
Get one of those. I think the silver Sharpie will work on that.
Isn't that funny how we think alike? I was thinking, I would get a sign it. I get one of those thick silver Sharpie things. Should we do that? Should we set that up?
Yeah.
All right, I'll set that up. Let me write this down. We'll do the Dow. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, because that has a big price. Dow Jones Industrial end of year. So that would be kind of posted the whole time. End of year competition with signed. Assigned to you. So we'll put that up next week. We'll make sure to tweet that out. If you're not following us,
we have
you're not
to have
find
a deadline
out.
To when we end.
Yeah, it will be the end of what? For the Dow Jones?
Yeah.
It'll be the end of the year.
No, when we end, people letting people come in and
oh, yeah. We'll have like, let's see, what are we now? So July 19th, I'll have it, if I get it up this week, we could put it to in for like 2 weeks after we open it. Would that be good?
No, that's not long enough. I think it has to be at least a month.
Well then, but the people that put it in early, the problem with that is when you put it in early, they can't change their price.
They can. Let me think about it. I think we have to have some mechanism that allows
get the developers working on that again. Really,
that's a whole. Well, no, thing. I don't want the developers doing any more work. Let me think about it. Okay. Well, we'll think about it.
So right now we're tentatively going to have a closer to the pin competition.
See, the problem is we can't promote it. Like when October comes around, unless we start it over again. We can't continue to promote it because people are, you're done. Thing is closed. And so we have this fabulous signed T-shirt coming. Everyone's when they're going to newcomers to the show. They're going to feel left out.
Well, they can go to. Oh, I see what you're saying. So, we could do. All right. Let's think about it. OK.
All right. Let's think about it before we start.
Update of the Global X Millennials Thematic ETF Challenge with the old Codgers portfolio. They're ahead by 4%. Those little millennials. Since inception. Now let's get on to another subject. And by the way, you can find the Close to the Pin and everything over on DH Unplugged. And if you do want to find out more about when these things come live, we do tweet them. You can either follow John Dvorak, John C. Dvorak, at The Real Dvorak, or myself at Andrew Horowitz. We're running out. Let's see how time is doing here. Okay. Let's talk about something I thought just another final point on this whole Nintendo. By the way, I did short Nintendo today for client accounts. We did get an 8% profit on that as we closed it. Quick in and out. McDonald's Holding of Japan. McDonald's Holding Company in Japan. Now, Pokemon is not available in Japan till later this week, I think. The game?
You're right. Releasing it any minute.
But McDonald's Holding, either think of this as brilliant or just still back to the whole crazy factory, saw its shares jump 23%, the biggest daily gain since July 2001, when it initially listed in IPO. When it announced that it was starting to give away figurines based on Pokemon characters, such as Pikachu, with sales of Happy Meal starting Friday. Stock goes up 23%.
What, they expect the sales to go up 23%? From the free figurines or little ceramic things? What are they, the plastic thing?
It's crazy, huh?
Wow, this thing is nuts.
Yep. Let's talk
this
about
is actually better. I didn't think I'd be ever going to see anything better than the Beanie Baby craze of the late 90s.
Yep, I still have two.
I think this is better. This is more nuts.
Yeah, the Beanie Babies took a long time to kind of catch on and get the whole thing rolling. Then you had also the Codicil Industries that were kind of created from it and all that. This may do the same thing. I don't know. In my opinion, it's a it's a wonderful technology. It's something new. It's definitely different. It's the use of augmented reality finally in a way that you can actually use it. But how long it lasts in terms of a craze when people get, tired of it, the average person, not the people that are really into it, is, kind of another
thing. I don't know anyone that's kind of just mildly into it. They all seem to be crazy about it. They talk about it. They exchange tips.
Oh, boy. This is only a week and a half, 2 weeks in. Can you imagine a couple months in?
Yeah. It's outrageous.
Well, Russian track and field athletes had already been banned from the Summer Olympics. We know about this from using performance-enhancing drugs, this whole doping thing.
Right.
But on Monday, the World Anti-Doping Agency released a report on the alleged state-run doping scheme that was occurred in the 2014 Sochi Olympics. Okay, no surprise, but for some of the things. But now they have also found that the athletes that were involved with curling, beach volleyball, and ping pong, which I don't know where beach volleyball was in the Winter Olympics, and ping pong too.
I don't remember ping pong being in it. Well,
maybe it was from past
curling.
Curling.
What? So you're all pumped up on roids, so you can push this stone and sweep.
Yeah.
Well, how weak were you to begin with?
And ping pong. Volleyball, I could see, maybe.
I don't see ping pong being benefited. I don't see performance-enhancing drugs being beneficial to the modern ping pong game. Maybe. It could be. Maybe it increases your reflexes or something, because you're going to need that with that slam shot that everyone uses now.
Mm. Well, bottom line is that they were bad boys. They had some kind of a deal where they had a hole in the certain bathrooms where you'd go in and you'd pass it through the wall. You pass the urine specimen through the wall.
I think they may have misinterpreted those holes.
What? Really? What do you think? What, do you think it were peeping holes?
Yeah, I'm not going to go any further.
You know, you could probably find out on Tumblr. Right?
Yeah, you would. You'd find out on Tumblr.
Yeah, search that. Peeping hole, bathroom holes, Tumblr.com.
Yeah.
See what you find out.
You find out something.
Herbalife. I thought this was really kind of an interesting story. We didn't talk about this, but you know, Herbalife has been the target of Bill Ackman, saying that it's a company's fraud. It's
old Bill.
Ponzi, pyramid scheme, and bad marketing, and all this stuff, right? So he has websites dedicated, movies dedicated.
And the portions are so small.
Yeah, this whole thing, right? So the FTC was out with a verdict on the whole idea of whether or not this thing is a pyramid scheme. It came out last, I think, Thursday. I think it was. And lo and behold, they decided, nope, it is not a pyramid scheme. But they did fine the company $200 million and mandated major changes to their business practices. So I find it really interesting that if the company's not a pyramid scheme and everything was above board because they said it's not a pyramid scheme, why did they fine them $200 million and mandate major changes to their business practices? Was it one of these things like, hey, guys, you are a pyramid scheme, but you know what? If you want to avoid being shut down, pay $200 million.
That has to be it.
Change your business practices, and we'll see how it goes. Right?
I wonder what the business practice they have to change actually is.
Well, it's probably the way they market, the way that they go about
getting
there.
Well, it's probably going to sink the company.
Well, that's interesting. The stock was up like 15% on this news.
Oh, sounds like a short.
Yeah, well, I got it on the list already, buddy. But you can join in. So the other thing is that the company needs to change the way they operate. And if their success was based on all of this whole marketing and how they brought in
exactly.
How could it be maintain their
it's
profitability?
Not gonna improve things.
Yep. So I think it's come down a bit. It was up 15% after the announcement. It came down about maybe 8% since then, and just flirting around the zero line today. So I'm thinking there's a short. You can go along with me if you like.
No.
Couple of other things. Anything to this? Women over the age of 40 are now having more babies than those that are under the 20s in the first time of more than 70 years. The Office of National Statistics showed that there were 697,000 live births in 2015. There were 15 births per 1,000 women aged over 40 compared to 14.5 per 1,000 in their teens. The last time the over 40s had the higher fertility rate was in 1947 in wake of World War II. Does this mean anything?
It probably does mean something, but I have to think about it. It's got to mean something.
Still at it, Tesla Motors, Elon Musk tweeting, "We'll be working on Tesla on an autopilot and a Model 3 today, then aiming to pull an all-nighter and complete the master product plan." We just need after he says these things, we need a, you know, everything he says is kind of like a, will be completing the master product.
So he's
going to
hold an all-nighter.
Yeah.
This thing is years and years away from production. What's the rush? What does he need to hold an all-nighter
for? The all-nighter for the master product plan.
Bull crap. Yeah, that's about right. Mm.
And summing it up in the end, I was on Benzinga pre-market prep show today. You can listen to it. I tweeted where we're at. Go over to Benzinga and find it over at SoundCloud. My guest, actually, I'll be on Frank Curzio's podcast at the end of this week. I'm the guest there. And coming up on the Disciplined Investor this week is Dr. Daniel Crosby, author of The Laws of Wealth, talking about behavioral finance. Going to be a really good show. A really, really good show. Hmm. And we talked about what you were writing for PC Mag. So let's get on over to the stocks. Why don't we?
Yeah, it looks like I got wiped out immediately from the Nintendo long, but it made money.
What do you mean immediately? It made 30%.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's like less than one show away, boom, 30%.
Yeah. I think you're up 42% at one point or something like that, at 40% at one point. Then it came back. This is not an offer to buy or sell any securities. It's a game that we play. Any suggestions that we make, please do me a favor and consult financial professionals in this. I got two different tweets and emails this week. And somebody mentioned that this is the second time that he's taken something that we told him and made over 40%. And he asked where to donate. So I direct messaged him back and said, you know, wherever you want. Do we have some mechanism for that?
Not really.
Tips? Nothing?
You know, the way I say, send a check with a thank you note.
Oh, you could do that. You could find where we live or our addresses.
Yeah. You can always send it by no agenda box. Just put DH Unplugged at the top.
Yeah. So anyway, if you feel inclined, you know, we work for peanuts otherwise. So
yeah, I don't mind getting a tip.
Yep.
Maybe, finder's fee.
Yeah, exactly. Two different people mentioned it this week. Then they mentioned, where do I send to? And I gave them a little note on, you know, how to send it on PayPal if they want to, and never heard anything. But there's also, do you use that Venmo? Have you been using that?
I don't use anything but PayPal and checks.
Yeah, PayPal owns Venmo. Anyway, there's just we'll mention if Horowitz Company or John C. Dvorak or myself own any of these. Okay, so yeah, you got bounced out of what? You got bounced out of Nintendo.
I got bounced out of everything.
Yeah, I got like. Bounced out
this
of
market is we. This market is too crazy.
Yeah, it's moving very quickly. I have this week the only thing I'm putting down is a short on Herbalife, and you know why? Seems fishy in Dvorak speak.
I think it's a good play.
You want to go
that's
together?
That's all you're going with?
Yeah, that's all I'm going with.
Well, I was looking at a couple of things here.
What do you got?
Let me go back to my page.
You could find out while we're starting, stretching the time here. You could find out all of the live picks, what is open, what is closed, what's happening over on DH Unplugged. Just simply go to the weekly stock picks, and you have to register, free registration, but this keeps the riffraff out. And you can see what's going on a regular basis there. And you can also track the old Codgers portfolio comparing to the Millennials portfolio there as well. So lots of things for you to do over on dhunplugged.com.
Yeah, I don't see. I don't really feel like doing anything.
Not in the mood. Well, don't force it. You know, come up with
something. The reason is, I mean, if I was going to do something, I might want to short something because I think the market is going to have to make a correction here because of just the looks of it. I mean, I just don't like the looks of it. I mean, the Dow, I'm looking at the Dow chart. It's like, So maybe I should just wait. I'll wait a week.
All right. We can do that. That's not a problem. Anything else we want to talk about? Now we have 3 or 4 minutes to close the show. We could sing. We could dance. Let's see if we missed anything. Let me see if we missed anything on our...
Look at the rundown. There must be something on there.
Let's see. Herbalife, Nintendo. Let me go up to the top here. Let's see here. Nope. Goldman Sachs talked about that. Netflix, we talked about SoftBank. Well, shit, we're going back up the list
here. So I found it interesting that Amazon is financing Woody Allen's movies now.
It's only $25 million.
Yeah, that's about right for one of his.
I mean, and how much does it cost to make one episode of, I don't know, House of Cards? It's got to be more than $25,000, right?
Well, yeah, definitely more than $25,000.
Right. Oh, $25 million, I meant.
A typical episode, you can budget the TV show is the following, using the following formula. The number of viewers equals, for an hour drama, usually results in a dollar of revenue. So if you have 10 million viewers, you got $10 million for that episode. And then out of that, they budget the show. So the show can be a high budget, low budget, medium budget. Typically, a 1 hour episode of a TV show, which is really only 40 minutes, runs about $1 million to $2 million max to do the show. If you have, you know, everyone's on salary. A lot of people are on salary. It's not like, you know, a lot of people get paid a lot too on some shows, but mostly no. And so it's $1 million or $2 million. To do a movie, you know, it's just a little more, you have to pay actors or higher end actors. It costs money. You got to move around. It just costs a little more. It takes longer.
So $25 million for Woody Allen.
I think $25 million for Woody Allen is reasonable.
When's the last time he had a movie?
He does one a year.
What? I haven't seen a Woody Allen movie in forever.
Well, you probably don't like Woody Allen.
Love Woody Allen. Who doesn't like Woody Allen?
Well, then you should have seen, there's like he does one a year. The one that's out currently is Cafe Society. And he did one last year that was not very good. And then I can't remember the name of it. The one that was really a winner was that Paris movie. You should go watch that. That's a great movie. I didn't get to see it. That made money back.
Midnight in Paris?
Yeah, Midnight in Paris, outstanding film. But I liked the one he did right after that, which was the Italian one. He was in Italy. And it's got
Irrational
some,
Man?
No, Irrational Man came after that. Irrational Man was...
So you got Blue Jasmine.
Blue Jasmine is excellent. Irrational Man, most people won't like.
To Rome with Love.
Yeah, To Rome with Love is not one of his best movies, but it has. If you like Woody Allen, you'll love the movie because it's got some extremely funny scenes.
Man, I'm gonna have to. You know what? I'm glad we talked about this because I'm gonna have to lock myself in this weekend and watch all these Woody Allen movies.
Well, To Rome with Love is for sure. Did you see the Paris movie?
No.
Oh, geez, you got to see that.
I don't think I saw that one.
Yeah, go see that, then watch Rome with Love, and then after that, I'd say Irrational Man's no good. And the one that came after that was no good. There's one in there that's kind of okay. Oh, yeah, Blue Jasmine.
He's 80 years old.
He's a workaholic. Blue Jasmine is terrific. I think Blue Jasmine is just it's a super art film. It's
I wonder
fantastic.
If he still plays. He used to play clarinet in Soho.
Yeah, he still floats around. He came through San Francisco recently, and Mimi says, oh, you should go see him. So what I want to go see a guy play the clarinet for? You know, if he went up and did stand-up, I'd go see that.
Yeah.
The guy's just sitting there playing the clarinet. It's like $200 to go see him. What? No.
He's funny. I like his stuff. I'm going to watch.
Those three movies are worth watching if you like Woody Allen.
I'll do that. All right, on that note, Woody Allen and, of course, the Energizer Bunny markets will conclude, and we will pick it up next week. We had to figure out what we want to do about the Dow Jones Industrial Average.
Yeah.
We're going to play that whole game. And then, of course, go over to Dietrich Unplugged and check out all the good things that are there and listen to New Agenda and the Disciplined Investor podcast and, send checks, it seems. That should be the title for the show, Send Checks. Send checks, send cash. All right, I'll see you next week.
Okay, adios.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, because I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.